Morning, everybody. If you will, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. On the heading of my notes, I always have title, text, date, place. And I'll fill those in, you know, what my title is and what the text was, so I can save it and keep it real organized and go find things that passed. And so for my text, I just have various. But the title of this Sunday school lesson is The Local Church. And I had it written down here. It's not my intention to preach you a 3-point gospel message from this. I want to teach you what God says. And I've been tore up over that, but that's what God gave me, is to just, now if I'm going to teach, I have to preach some. If I'm going to preach, I have to teach some. It goes hand in hand. But I was really upset. I sat down. I had a passage highlighted. We're going to look first at chapter 3, but look here in chapter 4, verse 6. Paul had given Timothy, I've been in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus a lot the last 2 months, a whole lot. I can't put it down. And somebody asked me a question a couple months ago, which sparked this, and I typed these things out, and I was worried, and I thought, I know it's right, it's what God gave me, but I'm not at ease. Until I had this highlighted and I saw it when I sat down. Look here, Paul gave Timothy all these instructions and things to do and things to look out for and things to warn against. And in chapter 4, 1 Timothy 4, verse 6, he said, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things," what things? Everything he just told him and everything he's about to tell him, "thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ." Boy, that's what I want to be. I do. "Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." Do you want to attain? I want to attain. I want to be like him. I do. And God, the Holy Spirit, moving Paul's hand, said if we look at these things and we're put in remembrance of these things, we'll be good ministers of Christ. And I want to. So the local body, the local church, is what we're going to look at this morning. Someone asked me a very good question about 2 months ago. And it was a very simple question. And it's one of the best questions I've ever been asked. And I can't shake it. I've dreamed about it in the mornings and in the nights. I've thought about this question. And it stayed with me. And it's affected me. And it was a question about the local church, about a local assembly of God's saints. And like I said, I don't really intend to preach a gospel message to you, but I want to show you, I want to answer that question that person asked me. I want to show you some things about the local assembly of God's saints where it's God has gathered his sheep together, and I want you to see what he has to say about it. Okay? Here in 1 Timothy 3, for me it's on the same page, at the end of chapter 3, verse 14. 1 Timothy 3, 14. Paul says to Timothy, he said, "These things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly." I hope I can get there quick, buddy. "But if I tarry long, I wrote you these things, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." This is where the truth's going to come out of. This is where the pillar that's going to uphold this gospel of Christ, of his glory, of who he is, of what he's done. This is concerning that local assembly. It is. Now, the Lord gave us 2 institutions while we're here on this earth to typify Christ, our husband, and us, his bride, his church, while we're here in this world. And he gave us these 2 things for us to be happy. These 2 things are for our good. And he gave us these things to glorify Christ. It's for our good and his glory. The first one he gave us, that's the home. That's the home, the family, the husband and wife. He gave us family government. What did the Lord say? I see some people, I know some friends of mine, some people you know. They're adult males and they're single. That ain't good. How could you say such a thing? Let me read Genesis 2 to you. The Lord said, "It's not good that the man should be alone." It ain't good. God said it ain't good. "I'll make him a help, meet for him, fit for him, useful for him." The Lord gave us a husband and a wife in that garden. The husband's the head, just as Christ is the head of his body. We're his bride. We came from him, from his side, his wounded side. We ain't above him, but we're not trampled below him either. From that pierced side, from that rib, that's where we came from, just like Eve did. And we can learn so much about ourselves and about our Lord and about our need of him through this daily example he's given us. If we see it in light of him, if he's on our minds, we're going to see Christ and how he does things and how bad we are and how wonderful he is throughout the day, day in and day out. In this life, we don't just, you that are married, you don't just see your wife twice a week for an hour and a half, do you? No, this is a life together. It's living together. So the first thing he gave us at institution was the institution of marriage and the family. And the second one he gave us is a local assembly of saints. The local church, this institution that the Lord gave us, this local assembly, it's more valuable to the believer than their own family. Well, I don't feel that way. I ain't talking to you then. I'm talking about children of God, you who believe. We love our families. I love my children. I love my wife. But the gathering of God's saints is more precious to the believer than their own families are. Why? Why? This is an everlasting family. We're in it for the long run, buddy. I was talking to Brother Marvin the other day. I said, I hate I can't just sit down and spend time with you, but we'll have eternity. So let's get after it, what we got to do now, and then we can get a work done and we can meet up later. This is our everlasting family. This is the family, this church. Christ loved the church. Is that what it says? The scriptures say? He chose it. He gave himself for it. He redeemed it. He builds it. He honors it. Ooh. Can I give you goosebumps? And he will preserve it forever. Our earthly relationships, they're going to come to an end. It's sad while we're here. But this union that you and I have, someday you're going to die or I'm going to die. And then when we're in glory, we ain't going to be husband and wife. But this union in a local assembly that's typified in the home and shown in a local assembly, saints of the Lord, we're part of his body. We're together forever. This union's forever. And you see, I told you before, it's the same thing. The Lord's consistent in mathematics, whether it's elemental or planetary, it's the same. But he gives us these examples in the home, and it's the same in a local assembly, and it's the same in his body throughout time. We see these things. And just like our earthly marriages, our families, we have plain instructions in our roles on them. Now, we may not like it. We may hate that God gave us our God-given responsibilities. We may ignore it, but we're giving them. Me, how to be a husband. Me, how to be a father. Not how other people ought to treat me, but how I'm to treat my wife and my children. Those things always give a little sour taste, don't it? You think, close your eyes and think of your in-laws, whether that's son-in-laws or daughter-in-laws or mother or father-in-laws. Think if your in-laws really got it. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be good? If you have a daughter that you love and her husband heard everything that he's supposed to do in light of Christ and he knew Christ, wouldn't that be good for her? You'd be happy about that. I'd be happy about that. Or my son gets married and has his wife, knows Christ and sees these instructions in God's word and heeds them for Christ's glory and that home's united. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Now let's apply it to ourselves. Let's not listen through somebody else's ears. I'm going to listen to me, okay? Here's some things concerning what God says about his local body, about his local assembly. The first thing, members of a local assembly of saints were to love one another. It says so. He said in Romans 12, he said, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. What's that? I'd rather have a cookout with you than I would the people I can't talk to Christ, I can't talk to about Christ. I'll have a cookout with them, that's fine. But I prefer to be with believers. I'd rather go bowling with believers. We prefer to go Topgolf. It's fun with other people, but I like going with believers, don't you? He said in Romans 13, he said, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. People's worried about keeping the law. Okay, forgive and love as hard as you can go after it. What's our motivation to love one another? Well, God said we had to. I don't love you. That ain't love. That's a mockery, isn't it? Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. For me to love her as Christ gave, I have to know Christ first. I have to be the sinner and him be the Savior. And then, I tell you what, that'll humble husbands and that'll humble wives, and everybody's going to start getting along. Why? Because he first loved us. Well, I love him, that's true. But you're going to love your brethren. You are. And not in word only. There'll come a time I say, oh, I love God, but they hate the brethren. How are you going to know? That's going to be an action, isn't it? Turn over to John 13. John 13, verse 12. We remember the Lord set the disciples down and he washed their feet. Peter said, you ain't washing my feet. He said, if I don't wash your feet, you ain't going to have no part of me. He said, well, you wash my head, my hands, my feet, all of me. He said, you're clean, Peter. Calm down. I'm giving you an example. Just hush and listen. Quit talking while I'm teaching. Listen, open your ears. Verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and he had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I've done to you? Now, I just washed your feet. Do you know what I just did? You call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example. What I've did, I've showed you. I've been an example that ye should do as I've done to you. You're telling us to do things. No, God's telling you to do things. He said, remember us looking at that? The Lord's washed us. We're holy. But these feet walk through this earth, they get dirty. He said, just... you see that dirtiness of flesh? Wash it off. Pay no attention to it. Let it go down the drain. He said, now I've done that for you. Now you do it. I've loved you, and you have my love in you. Now get to loving. Get to doing it. I thought of Peter said, honor all men and love the brotherhood. Fear God and honor the king. That's fearing God. That's honoring God. That's honoring the king is to love the brotherhood. And I'd lived in Philadelphia for a while, and that place is called the City of Brotherly Love. Well, it's the City of Brotherly Love, isn't it? Until you're in Cheltenham at 2 a.m. You don't want to go down there. At rush hour traffic, it ain't rush hour, it's rush day. I've been down 95 at 1:30 a.m. going on a service call, and it's bumper to bumper packed. Where are they going? And they're mad about it. But it's the City of Brotherly Love until you're there, isn't it? It's sarcasm, that's what it is. We're a brotherhood. This is a family. We're a sisterhood. And we are to love this gift the Lord's given us. He's given us this family. And it's instinct. You can't keep from it. But he tells us, just like we tell our children. I tell you all, don't you? Love your sister. That's the only sister you got. You got two brothers, but love both of them. I tell them. He tells us. He does. When love's present in a local assembly, these are things concerning a local assembly. When love's present, and this is the first one I'm laboring at the longest. It's the foundation. Being in a body of Christ, being in a local assembly, it's joy. If God has gathered saints together, it's a warm place. It's a safe place. It's comfortable. You're at ease. You're open. You come home the other day from swim practice. Was you scared to talk to me? Was it weird to tell me what kind of laps you did? Why? You're home. It's your family. Who else you going to talk to? How'd your day go? It's a family. Just like a loving home, a local assembly's a family. I got this all throughout my notes in parentheses. Family, 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 family. It's a family. And he's given us that first family to show us a second family. All brethren, that eternal union's coming. This is good. He gave us this to teach us what's coming. This is a down payment, an inheritance of that inheritance we have. Second thing, things concerning a local body. We're told to do everything we can to keep us family. To stay with this, to be unified. Turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Paul's writing here and he says, Ephesians 4, 1, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. I ain't Nero's prisoner. I ain't the Romans' prisoner. All the Romans got me. Catholic Church got a hold of me. He said, I'm God's prisoner. That's good, isn't it? prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Bend over backwards and kiss your heels and do anything you can without compromising the gospel to endeavor to keep the unity. And do it right now. He said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Do it. Forbearing. That means you're going to carry something in a backpack. Long suffering. That means it's going to suffer and it's going to take a long time. This ain't doing cartwheels and holding hands every day. But endeavor. Endeavoring to keep the unity. Why? Why would we do that? Verse 4 is family. There's one body. There's one Spirit. Even as you are called in the hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Christ abides in his people. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. God's been gracious to me. He's been gracious to you. What have we got to fight about? I don't like it when you wear blue ties. Well, cut your ties up. Throw them away. What we got to fight about? This family ain't got nothing to fight about. This family God puts together. Wherever the Lord has assembled his sheep, not where a bunch of people's got together. When the Lord said two or three together, he's talking about rebuking a brother. He said, you remember before you go and challenge somebody, you take two or three witnesses with you before you charge an elder, and you remember I'm sitting there listening. He's with us always? Yeah, and he's reminding us. Verse 2 or 3, y'all gather together, talk things out. I'm standing there. That sets a tone, doesn't it? But where God's assembled his sheep, not where we decided we're going to pour a foundation, where he's assembled his sheep in love in a local house of the family, we're to do everything we can to keep that unity. Or else we're grieving the Holy Spirit. Look down verse 30. It says that. Look at verse 29. Chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's plain, isn't it? Say good things. Don't say bad things. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. If you ain't got something nice to say, don't say nothing at all. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. No silly talk. Don't gossip, don't slander, don't strife, don't murmur. Paul told Titus in Titus 3 plainly, he said, avoid foolish questions. And we're talking about these things, it's silly. It's foolish, don't quit that, you know. Henry told us, now this does not apply to our generation, it applies to that generation that Henry was sent to, and that was me when I was a teenager. And it ain't a thing going on now, I ain't seen one in a long time. But there's a rage in the early 90s of Ouija boards. I don't know about out here, but in Eastern Kentucky, that's when he was sent and that's where he was sent. And my pastor got up and told us, he said, you young people, you leave them Ouija boards alone. It ain't good for you. Don't do it. Is that okay? Was that okay for me to hear that? What's going on in our day? Them conspiracy theories, leave them alone. They ain't no good for you. You're worrying about man and you're worried about the government or what some teenage boy did up in Pennsylvania a couple weeks ago, and who sent him? God sent him. It's for his glory, and I talk about something good. See? I'm not saying y'all talking about them things, but for our generation, for what's going on all around us, constantly in the phones and the TVs, and leave it alone. Now, God sent me to say that in this generation, this place, and this time. It's so. His word says so, isn't it? Leave that silly communication alone. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And be kind to those who've not yet seen their heir. That get mad about those things. And still be kind to them. Still pray for them. Still love them. He says in Romans 12, bless them which persecute you. Bless. And not curse. Don't curse them. Pray God save them. Pray God teach them. Because if he does, we'll be back being family and everything will be fine. Isn't it? Here's a third thing concerning the local church. We're to see to each other's needs. Now, what's that? Is that physically? Yes. You need some beans and rice? I got some beans and rice. I'll give you some. But not just that. Emotionally. Did you know that? Be an ear for somebody to I sound like Henry, ain't I? I ought to. I've made from him. Being here to listen, not to tell, to listen, to hear, to bear one another's burdens. And that little illustration, that boy, his mom said, "Where you been?" Little tiny fella. And he was next door with that neighbor all the time. And that neighbor, he'd been widowed. His wife had died. And he said, she said, "What are you doing with that fella over there all day? You've been over there for 3 days in a row." He said, "Mommy, I'm just helping him cry." And he just sat with him while he cried. Believers shed tears. Believers have hard lives in this world. And I want to know what they are, not to gossip and yik-yak about who put you in that bad situation, but so I can pray for you. Or just cry with you. Say, "Well, that's rough, isn't it?" And think about putting myself in their shoes. We've got good examples all around us. We got a great cloud of witnesses before, and we got a great cloud of witnesses right now. We do. Why would we do such a thing? Because this is an assembly of the saints. That's Christ's dwelling place in that person. That's his child. He said in Matthew 25, "And the king shall answer and say to them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me." And not only providing for one another, that's what love does, but to watch out for each other like family does. Wolves are coming. We'll see next hour, we're the wolf. Did you know that? Sometimes I'm the wolf. Sometimes I'm the locust. That's in me. I got an old man. Don't it? Physically, we'll look out for him, but spiritually too. Spiritually. And that goes with that foolish talking. Now, the road you're going down ain't a good road to go. Leave that alone. You know, or somebody says something good. That is good. Thank you for saying that. Encourage them to keep going the way they're going. It says in Hebrews 12, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently." We're to be diligent with this. "Lest any man fall of the grace of God." Well, huh? Oh, this ain't just stepping on people's long toes. I don't know if that's an expression. There used to be a saying, if somebody said, "Hey, they got long toes," that means they're easily offended. That's, you say one cross word, buddy, and they're just going to be like a mad 13-year-old and go down. Look diligently, lest somebody fall from grace. That's what it cost. It said that those false preachers and stuff, just like a locust we'll see next hour, they crept in unaware. Who are they unaware to? Well, everybody except Kevin and Mike Smith. We know. No, it's unaware. We didn't know. It's like a serpent sneaking in. That scares me to death. I saw a video of somebody found a snake behind a couch or something on the internet. I want to go flip all the furniture upside down. That can happen. I keep that door shut. They creep in unaware. If I was aware of it, I'd have done something about it. But we're to look diligently, lest a man fall from grace, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you. What's going to do that? Bitterness, contention, pride, and thereby many be defiled. Trouble's going to come. Hard times are going to come. And that's in the home, and that's in a local assembly, isn't it? Or we're going to disagree with Dr. Gill. We don't see eye to eye on what he had to say. And that's a regular family. Sometimes you don't get along. We still eat together, don't we? We're still in it together. If we're family, we're there. What are we to do then? Colossians 3 says, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any." And this is where it's going to be applied. "Even as Christ forgave you, also do ye." If Christ has forgiven you, you'll forgive. If Christ has been engaged with you, you'll be engaged. If Christ has been merciful to you, you'll show mercy. Even to your dog. The righteous regardeth the life of his beast. Hunter gets good walks and good food, don't he? Why? The Lord gave me good walks and good food. Look here in Matthew 6. Colossians 3, it says, you can turn to Matthew 6, verse 9. Colossians 3, "If anybody has a quarrel against you, forgive them. Even as Christ forgave you, also do ye." And the measure he's forgiven you, you forgive in that measure. Now, Matthew 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. He said, all right, well, here's a format for you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's holy. Your kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, you're holy. You do it your way. Your will be done. Not my will be done. Your will be done. Now, give us this day our daily bread. You know I got to eat. You give me Christ today. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That terrify you? Lord, you forgive me with the same amount of forgiveness that I forgive others. Oh, guilty. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. His kingdom's forever. His glory is forever. He's the one that's holy. It's His will be done. Now, what comment is God going to tell us on how to pray? On what He just told us. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, that's what He goes to. He gives some additional instruction. It's not a caveat. Caveat's a warning. That's what the word means. He gives some additional instruction. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you trespasses. Well, that makes me want to be like Paul. I don't want to know nothing among you save Christ and Him crucified. Let's dwell on the good things. I don't want to do no trespassing. I don't want you to do no trespassing. Let's just look to Him. He's merciful. Let's ask Him for it. This local assembly, we're to pray for one another. He said in Ephesians 6:18, but Paul said before, he said, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us that preach. Before that, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He said, pray for the brethren. Pray for all of them. And then he said, well, you pray for us too. We're in that lump. We're in that body. You pray for us too. When? When are we to pray for our brethren? Well, they're going through a rough time. They're in trouble. We ought to pray for them. Well, yeah. Or they're going through a real good time. They got promoted and everything's going good right now and got them a new bass boat or whatever. Well, pray for them too, yeah. But the text says praying always. Always. How can I think about somebody day in and day out? Do you think about your family day in and day out? Remember, we're giving that example in the home. Well, yeah, I think about my children every day. Jared's in Utah. I think about Jared every day. Why? Why do I think about him? Now we're getting down to brass tacks. This is going to be cut deep on it. Why do we think about him every day? We love him. I think about you every day, Bob. Why? I love you. I think about all y'all every day. I love you. I pray for you. And then Paul says after that, now, y'all pray for me. That's sweet, isn't it? A local assembly's to assemble. I'll hurry. Is that too common sense? We're a local assembly of saints. Well, we're to assemble. We're to get together and worship Christ. He said in 2 Corinthians 6, wherefore come out of them from among them. Be ye separate. We're out there with them all week. Ain't we? Come out from that world. Forget about SDG&E and forget about your grocery bill and all that. Come in here. Think about him, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's what he's saying for us. Is that true from the family and for the local assembly throughout time? Yeah, that's what he's talking about in Ephesians 5. He said, for this cause shall man, because it ain't good for him to be alone, so he gave him a wife, shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. That's what he's talking about. Get together. Become one. Assemble together. And he said, but I'm talking about the body of Christ. That's, we understand that in a home. Y'all leave your mother and father and get your own place to live. And he said, never let. I'm talking about Christ and the church. Come out from that false religion. Come out from that world and assemble yourselves together. oh, well, that's what we're supposed to do, so now I ain't got to live with my wife or provide for her. He said, no, nevertheless, let every one of you particular so love his wife even as himself. He said, this is the picture, but we're to do it too. Well, I can divorce my wife and kill her or sell her or something like that. That's where he's talking about the local assembly. No, you assemble in your homes too, just like you do here. We have a great privilege and a great blessing from God to be here, to have this gospel here, to have a family here. We ought not take it lightly. And if we esteem it not, and it ain't that important to us, God will take it away, he'll move it. But if we didn't esteem it, we never did really love it anyway, did we? God make us love him and his people and the privilege he's given us to meet together. It says in Hebrews 10, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, colon. Well, that means now we got to get to loving and you got to start providing for the poor. That colon's going to expound what he just said. What's love and what's good works? Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. If you're going to do the works of Christ, that's putting a family together. You're going to get together. And if you're going to love, you're going to do it together. You ain't going to, I'm going to love you in another state. I'm going to love you in person. As the manner of some is, some people's fine with it. They take it or leave. Well, that's a great inconvenience that there's nothing there. Or that's a long way to go. That's some people's manner, but not us. We're not like them to draw back to perdition, are we? But exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. That day's coming. Christ is coming. I want to hear about him. I want to see him magnified before we see him in glory. Don't you? I don't know how many days we got going, but I want to look to him every day. Until that day comes where we're made like him, till we see him, face put away, hopes put away, he's our end. And we're not to be respecters of person. That's so natural too, isn't it? So easy for us to do. Education, wealth, intelligence, experience, social standing, race, gender. I don't suffer a woman to preach, but you think a woman can't enter into the same doctrine a man can, or a young person or an old person, or just because somebody has a doctorate degree or somebody didn't graduate high school? This is a person, a love of a person. They're in this family. A family has people, a lot, boys and girls, and short and tall, and the family has a lot of different people, don't they? Some of them's richer, some of them's poor. We're not to be respecter of persons. In a family, we're in it together. If you hurt, I hurt. If you win, I win. It's a good thing, isn't it? Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Romans 12 says, well, we're supposed to esteem each other higher than ourselves. That's true, yes. But it says in verse 16, Romans 12, 16, be of the same mind one toward another. The same mind. We treat that one the same as this other one. Well, they're a greater warrior for Christ. We're the same. We're just part of the same body. We preach Christ and him crucified. I happen to be the one that stands up and talks every week, but we preach Christ in him. He's put us together, the whole body. I'm standing here, my mouth's talking, but my feet's standing here, ain't they? My mouth's talking, but my kidneys are functioning. My heart's beating, my lungs are breathing. Christ made himself of no reputation, didn't he? He said, be not wise in your own conceits. You esteem those of low estate. Those that think themselves, well, I'm just ain't important enough to listen to them. You go listen to Christ. And if somebody thinks themselves important, they're not. That's so. This is what the local assembly contends for. Turn over to Jude and we'll close. Right before Revelation. If we're going to fight for something, fight for this. If you're going to spend your mental time, the real estate you have in a week's time, if you're going to spend time considering something and giving worry to something, you think on this. The gospel, that condensation of Christ. He come down. That's a great mystery, isn't it? That was the next thing in 1 Timothy 3. Great is the mystery of godliness. He came in the flesh. You think of his condescension. Why? Because we're down here. He's made like us. And then you think of his ascension. He's accepted that sacrifice. He laid his life down. It's been accepted. The Father's accepted. And for whom that concerns? Sinners just like me. Now look at Jude verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, that's the same to you as it is to me. I didn't find him, he found me. That's the same between me and that eunuch and all the way back. All the way back to Abel. All the way back to that garden, isn't it? It's the same thing. Not common, you can go get the dime store, but it's the same between all believers. Same in that local body of church. Same in the body throughout time. I write unto you the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. This whole thing, all these things were given to this body that the Lord, it's his body. And so now if you're going to defend something, you're going to fight for something, you're going to take up a cause, you're going to have something on your lips to talk about, have grace, his grace on your lips like he had. You contend for this. This local assembly, this assembly that we know of in other places, there's some bad things happening over in, I don't know, pick one, Tennessee, Indiana. What can we do? Let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. There's places without pastors right now. They just got one. The anvil needs a plan. Let's pray for them. You know what? I know somebody that's preaching. Let's send them over there. They can do work of evangelists. Let's contend for that. I want to. I don't. I catch myself just thinking of foolish, reading books that ought not be read and watching shows that ought not be watched and listening to songs that shouldn't be sung. And I get down and I think, boy, the Lord's awful faithful, isn't he? To turn my mind, to stir up my pure mind and make me look to him one more time. That's what I want to contend for. That's what I want you to contend for. And that's what his body will contend for. It will, because he walks in. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these words you've given for us. Lord, we see our failures, but we see our conqueror and our king. Thank you for Christ. Lord, make us like him and make us want to be like him and to enjoy his word and enjoy the presence of his people. Make us contend for these things and not get used to it and become lukewarm towards it, Lord. Melt our hearts today and be with us. Be with your people as you promised you will be. Lord, and keep us. We can't keep ourselves. Keep us as you promised you will. And be with our brethren in this place that can't be with us and your saints that we know of throughout this world and those that we don't know, Lord. Send your spirit to them and warm their hearts today for your son's glory and for our good. Lord, we thank you for these things. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you for what you're doing and what you shall do. And it's because of Christ, because of his ascension and his intercession that we ask these things. Amen. All right, Brett. We'll take about 10 minutes. Meet back a little after 10:30. Thank you.